Heavenly Father, once again, I am so glad that I don't worship wood or stone or something that man made. But Lord, we worship you, the living God, who cares about our lives, who knows what's going on, who speaks to us by your Holy Spirit, who guides us day by day. Father, we thank you and we praise you for how much you love us and care for us. It says if we cast our cares on you, you care for us. It says if we submit to you and resist the devil, he will flee. So, Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, we submit to you. We say no to our enemy. And in the name of Jesus, he has to flee. Father, we lift up our nation today. I lift up the leaders of our nation today. That, Lord, they would come back to you. That, Lord, your Holy Spirit would visit Washington, D.C., and that they would hear your voice, and that they would have dreams and visions, and that, Lord, they would see what your plan and your will is. And so, Father, guide them and direct them. Father, we lift Phyllis Saab up to you right now, that you would bring healing to her. She's in the hospital. If you have anybody that needs healing, speak their name to the Lord right now. Just speak it out. Just tell the Lord what their name is. He hears. He knows. Father, it says in your word, for those who believe will lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Father, help us to not be afraid, but just to speak your name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. And I ask you to bring healing to the body of Christ. Father, be with Pastor Steve and his family. His mom passed away on Monday. And Lord, I'd ask you to comfort them with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, I'd ask that you'd open our minds and our hearts. Let your word come through our ears, but let it bring faith into our hearts, Lord Jesus, this morning. And change us and draw us close to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Turn to somebody and say, you are not alone. Isn't that great? Now, think of all the people that didn't come to church this morning who think they're alone. So when you leave here today, don't hesitate to tell somebody, come to church. And you won't be alone. You'll have somebody to help you. I don't know what I'd do without the body of Christ when I get into trouble. And so please remember that, church. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. You can text 262-749-5097 and you can text the word welcome there. And you can let us know that you're here. Or there's a flyer in the seat back in front of you and you can fill that Connect form out and take it out to the Welcome Center on your way out, and we're just glad that you're here. You probably know already that we like to worship God, and we love to worship Jesus. So we just want to welcome you. We're glad you came to worship with us this morning. I also want to thank you for your tithes and offerings. Okay, we don't take it for granted that you're faithful to God. Your faithfulness to God allows this ministry to go forward, and this ministry wants to win souls, okay? One thing you need to know about us is I don't want to have a ministry to have a ministry and play church. I want to have a ministry to win souls and to make disciples. I truly believe our nation can change if we'll come back to God. So that's where we're at. So thank you for your tithes and offerings. We're dealing with our water issue. You have to drink water out of the bubblers. The toilets work. But this week we found out that our well cannot be fixed. So I have wonderful news. We get to drill a new well. And that's going to take care of our water problems. I truly believe it. All right? We've been dealing with this for years now. We figured it out. Our casing is rotten. They cannot repair it. So tomorrow we'll be getting bids and figuring out how long it will take, and I'll keep you updated as much as I can. All right? We have four elders' names before the church. This is the second week. Before they join the elder board, and their names are Bill Hoyt, Mark Tobias, Joe Mack, and Dan Clement. Joe is here. Wave, Joe. And Bill is here. He's over here. Now, here's the process at Mount Zion. If you know anything that would disqualify them from serving as an elder, come and talk to me. Don't go talk to anybody else. Come and talk to me. If there's a biblical reason, that's a process that we go through. And so just beware of that, and I believe they'll be at our next elder meeting, okay? One more fair outreach, all right? The Walworth County Fair is going to start. Last week, we had a couple days of rain, and we gave out 4,000 walking sticks. Everyone that gets a walking stick has to hear the wordless gospel, all right? They have to hear that Jesus died on the cross for them, rose from the dead, and their sins will be forgiven if they confess their sins to Him and cry out to Him for Savior. So this year, I need as much help as I can get. We're going to have over 6,000 walking sticks there, and we're going to pray for good weather. And so there is a sign-up sheet online, all right? If you go to mtzn.com/events, you can sign up. There are in two-hour shifts or intervals, or there's a sign-up sheet right back here on the bulletin board, all right? And some of you are going, I don't know if I can do this. How do they do this? What's it about? On the 25th, which is the Sunday before the fair opens, on Wednesday the 28th, right after the second service, we'll have a short training meeting just to help you to know how things are going to work and what we're going to do. But I also have to tell you that I believe God wants to teach us to get out of our comfort zone here in the church and go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. And this is an opportunity for you to be able to do that, and we'll have plenty of us old guys out there to watch over you and make sure you don't get hurt, and we can, and, you know, Riley will be there to answer questions, okay, in case anybody tries to stump us. But it's just an awesome outreach, and so please sign up, please help us, because we have to be there from 10 in the morning till 10 in the evening every day of the fair, and I'm getting all geared up, man. It just fills my bucket, so that's all I got to say about that. I like telling people about Jesus. If you have your Bibles, we are in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and somebody say shame on you, Pastor Dave. My Bible's in my office or someplace. I forgot to bring it out. So I'm going to have to go high tech this morning, all right? So I'll get into Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin in the 12th verse, all right? And I'm waiting for my iPad to catch up, all right? Here we go, the 12th verse. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Father, I pray that we can internalize this today, that, Lord, it will change our lives, that, Father, literally when we leave this place, we will shine when we walk out the back doors in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First point, always obey the God who sees. All right. Always obey the God who sees. Look what Paul says. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. I almost put on that line, I almost put while Paul's away, the Philippians will play. But I thought that was kind of hokey. But think it through. Paul says, hey, even in my absence, I want to hear that you obey God. God is the God who sees. If you can bring up Genesis 16, Randy, verse 13. And listen to what it says. This is Hagar after she has been kicked out by Sarah out of the camp, and she has Ishmael with her. And she went out into the desert and put Ishmael out of earshot. She thought he was going to die and she was going to die. And then God appeared to her and spoke to her and said, I will make this son of yours into a mighty nation. Folks, that's the Arab nation today. And then this is what she says. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. I wonder how many of you think, well, nobody's looking, you know, I can slide today. But see, God's always watching. He's always watching. So the point, again, always obey the God who sees. Always obey Him, all right? Now, your second point in the text, Christians do not serve for their salvation. Christians serve because of their salvation. Okay? This is a text that can be so misinterpreted. It says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It doesn't mean work for your salvation or work so that you can be saved. That's all the other religions, okay? They all have to do something. You got to have more good karma than bad karma, right? So that you can get to nirvana or whatever their belief is. That's not Christianity. I've been saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't work for my salvation. Jesus bought it for me and paid for it on the cross. We were singing it today. So the point again, Christians do not serve for their salvation. Christians serve because of their salvation. It brings up so many questions. Do you serve? See, what do you do? And please, there are so many ways to serve at church. And I'll just tell you my story. When I came here, I just did whatever needed to be done. All right? I took care of kids in the nursery. I took care of toddlers. I just have to tell you this. The handicapped bathroom down here on the south end, that used to be our toddler room. We put 23 to 30 toddlers in there. And my wife and I and my whole family would try to keep them all alive. And then at the end, they'd say, how'd it go? And I would say, they were all breathing when we gave them back to their parents. I greeted at the door. I've been an usher, you know. I've locked up. I've opened up. You just get involved, church. And then God will show you what brings Him glory and what you're good at and what you enjoy to do serving. But get involved. Get involved. The Mount Zion house out and back, I brought our skid steer from the farm and put all the drywall up onto the second floor with my bale mover. I'll never forget those days. But just get involved. See, serve. Why? Because of our salvation. I love God, so I want to help out. I want to see souls won. And so we serve not for our salvation, but because of our salvation. All right? Now, a key verse. Work out what the Holy Spirit is working in you. Okay? See, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I wonder what you all think of when I say work out. You see, when I say that to my 17-year-old grandson who's going to be 18 soon, he says, yeah, I'll meet you at the Y, Grandpa. I don't think so. He's done with the exercise before I even think about it. See, what does it mean? He says, work out your salvation. It means live as a Christian, you see. But you have to work out what the Holy Spirit is working in you. It's so important, church. You have to work out what the Spirit of God works in you. John chapter 14. Randy, you're going to have to keep up with me now. I'll get my Bible for the next service. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. Very important, church. Look at, he will be where? In you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Where is he at, church? He's in us. You can't work out salvation unless Jesus is in you. You have to have him inside of you. And you can only come out what's in. Now my question is, have you spent enough time with Jesus, you see? Have you spent enough time with him that some of him is getting into you? My goal is that they can't tell the difference between me and Jesus. But have you spent time with him? Have you prayed? Have you been in fellowship? Have you been in Bible study? Have you been speaking to him? Have you sat to listen to see what does he have to say to you? Is there evidence that you're a Christian? I'm trying to figure out how to teach this to you, so I have to show you one of my shirts, all right? This shirt has been washed 3 times since I worked with it. Can you see the stains in it? And what I did is I took an engine apart. I had so much fun, I could hardly stand it. And I took a motor apart with it, and I came home, and it's got all these oil stains on it. My wife's washed it twice. She washes it alone with my jeans I was wearing. And all I could think of was, have you been with Jesus long enough that he's rubbed off on you? See, for everybody who says, I'm just too busy, you know, and I come on Sunday, but that's all, and all the excuses, I'd like to write a book someday about excuses, you know. Don't understand it, things like that. But the fact is, folks, if you're going to work out your salvation, you got to have it in you. Jesus has to live in you. Your next point, a Christian's will and actions should be directed by the Holy Spirit. You see, it says work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And it says that he works in you to will and do for his purpose, not our purpose. It's for him. Now, is your will what you want to do? Or do you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what should I do today? Have you even tried to include God in what you're doing? Do you ask him? And a Christian's will and actions should be directed by the Holy Spirit. It's so important, church. You see, the church goes around and says, oh, it'd be so good if God would work like he did in the Acts of the Apostles. And my answer to that is, why don't we just act like the disciples did in the Acts of the Apostles and believe like that and walk like that and talk like that and stand up for the gospel like that? And I think God will begin to work. What do you think? So when he says work out your salvation, the first question you have to ask is it in me? Is the Spirit of God in me? Have I submitted to him? It's powerful. And then the text goes on, and here's your next point. Become straight in a crooked and warped world. Isn't it interesting? He says you will shine like stars. I have to go back. See, I know what it says. It says, do everything without what? Grumbling, right, Pat? Or arguing. How's that? Are you glad you came to church today? Do everything without. It doesn't say do some things without grumbling and arguing. It says do everything without grumbling and arguing. And then Paul says, you will become. so that you may become. I'm so glad it says this, because I'm becoming. I'm not there. You may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Turn to somebody and say, this world is warped and crooked. That's one thing you ought to be able to believe this morning. But you see what it says. Christian, you're supposed to be becoming blameless and pure. You're supposed to be getting going in the right direction. It's a quote from Deuteronomy 32:5. You can look it up later. And what it is they're saying, you know, God's saying, I chose you, Israel, out of all these other nations who are warped and they're crooked. And I chose you. I've been living in my new house for a little over a year now, and I was the laborer when we built it, and I'm so happy because I think I've touched almost every 2x4 in the house and 2x6. And this was my job. The builder said, go through these and make me 3 piles, straight, almost straight, crooked, or warped, right? And one day I said, how important is this? And he says, well, do you want straight walls or crooked walls? And I went, I'll get right to it. Church, we lived in a warped and crooked world, and it's not getting better that I can see. I don't see any time that the world's going to say, oh yeah, you Christians are right. But hear what God says. You're becoming, see, becoming pure and blameless. You're becoming straight. Is everybody listening? And the next thing I have to tell you is you are God's building. Please hear. You are God's house. You are the church. The building is not the church. You are the church. Turn to somebody and say, we're the church. Now, are you warped or are you going to become straight? At least we got honest people. And he says, you're becoming pure and blameless. You know what the world needs? The world needs a church that's becoming pure and blameless, that's becoming straight, not warped, not crooked, standing up saying that's wrong, it's warped and it's crooked and I won't go with it. And it's so important, church, that we do this and that we understand. We're the house of God. We're the building of God. He's counting on us to get this right. Years ago, I was in a prayer group with a lady. Her husband was a police officer in Chicago. This is almost 30 years ago, and he retired. And I said to him, what was it like being a police officer in Chicago? Remember, this is like 30 years ago. And this is what he said to me. He said, I used to come home at night, and I would sit down in my chair, and I would say, God, is there anyone straight left in the world? Mount Zion, is there anyone straight? Is there anyone becoming pure and blameless? Come on, church. Let's become pure and blameless in a warped and crooked generation. All right? Look at your next point. Adhere to the word of life and shine like stars in the darkness. I wonder how many of you came in here this morning and went, I'm shining. Huh? Now this one will get me in trouble. Somebody always talks to me about that. But you ought to all be lit this morning. People go, you can't say that. That means like, no! I'm not saying get high or drunk. I'm saying be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says don't be filled with wine or drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit and get lit. Shine like Jesus shines. Listen to the scripture text, all right? Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. We were singing about the glory of God this morning, church. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And you know what? Here's what I see with Christians. Christians are like, you got to be careful what you say today. You might offend somebody. Can I borrow your basket? I'm going to put it over me because I don't want anybody to know. You know, my religion, you know, my faith is a very private thing. How many people have heard that one? My faith isn't private. I want my faith to be so public. I want people to go, why is he different? Why does he shine? Why is he bright? When I was farming, I had no notion of being in ministry. People came to me and said, well, we've never seen a happy Christian. I said, you've seen one now. They were like, we have to go. They marked on their map, do not come back to this farm. Church, we're supposed to shine. All right? We're supposed to shine. It's so important. We shouldn't walk around all dull and down and wiped out and defeated. Michael Heiser, in his book, The Unseen Realm, the divine sons of God are called the morning stars. In Job 38:7, and the stars of God, Isaiah 14:13. You'll have to, this isn't up on the board. You'll have to take notes if you want to text. The imagery of Joseph's dream where the sons of Jacob, Israel, are stars, Genesis 37:9, is no accident. Neither is it a coincidence that Abraham's offspring will be as the stars. While the phrase speaks of numerical multitude of offspring, that isn't its only message. Star language speaks of divinity or glorification elsewhere. In Revelation, Jesus himself, the morning star, and the angels are identified with star language to denote their divine, non-earthly nature. Revelation 1:20, 22:16, and 2:28. As Daniel says, the righteous will shine like the brightness of the sky above, like the stars forever. Daniel 12:2. And three, our inheritance of the nations with Jesus at the end of the days, Revelation 3:21, is in a glorified, resurrected, divine state. The star language of Genesis 15 was an eschatological connotation. It was talking about what we're going to become, church. In John, 1 John chapter 3, he says, we don't know what we're going to be like, but when he appears, we're going to be like him. We're going to shine. I got more paragraphs to read to you. It says that we're going to shine like the stars. When Joseph had the dream and he said, the moon and the stars bowed down to me, he was talking about Israel even, all his brothers, saying they bowed down. But Paul is saying, hey, church, shine. Go out there and shine, you know? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Ooh, don't breathe on it. Are you kidding me? I'm going to light a blowtorch. Go ahead, blow that out. Come on, church. It's like we're not lighting a little match hoping we can get the campfire going. Come on. We got the power of God. We got a guy that the bush lit up and it wouldn't distinguish. It wouldn't go out. And Moses said, I got to go check that out. I want to be like the burning bush. And people go, we keep trying to douse this guy's fire and it won't quit. Let's check it out. You should be like that. We don't know what's going on with these people from Mount Zion, but there's just something about them. Church, we're victorious. We're supposed to shine like stars. We're becoming straight. We're becoming pure and blameless. Our will and God's will are going to line up. And there's plenty of darkness out there, church. But I don't have to go with it. I don't have to agree with it. I actually want to be the contrast to it, okay? I want to contrast it. I want to dispel the darkness when I walk into the room. I want to bring hope. You know, how can you do a funeral? You know, people say it must be so difficult to do a funeral. I said it's very easy if you know Jesus. Because I have hope. The Bible says, even though you die, yet you shall live. I can be a light in the darkness. I can be salve to the soul. I can bring hope. The end of the text. This is your point. Make Jesus and your mentor proud. Paul says, in the day of the Lord, I want to be proud of you. Isn't that something, what he says to the Philippians? He says, I want to be proud of you in the day when the Lord comes back. I can be proud because you've walked with him and you've stayed with him and you've held fast. You've been shining like stars here. Wait till you get to heaven, folks. So it begs a question. How are you and Jesus doing right now? You know, if you're in here going, ooh, I kind of wasn't wanting to meet with him today, there's this word, it's called repent. It means turn around. It means stop what you're doing if it's wrong and turn around and go the other direction. Repentance. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Wow. Detergent for your sin. So you can make Jesus proud. And then what about your mentor? Some of you are going, what's that? It's the person you call when you don't know what to do. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Do you have a mentor? Are you a mentor? You see, if you don't have one, you need one. Now, here's what you do, and please get this straight. Start to pray. If you don't have a mentor, if you're not connected with somebody, see, I'm connected. If I get in trouble and I get stumped and I don't know what to do, there's a very old pastor in Florida named Bill. I'll call him up, and he'll talk to me. And when I'm done, I hang up the phone and I go, how did he get in my head this morning? See? How did he know what was going on? Well, God knew. And God has him to help me. I walk into Pastor Steve's office. I walk into Matt's office. I walk into Bill's office. I can call Bo out at Mount Zion House. I can call Chaplain Larry. And I say, you guys, keep me straight. Keep me from jumping off the ledge. You see, keep me from getting crooked and warped here. Tell me, am I on the right track or am I going to mess up here? Do you have a mentor? Is there anyone you can talk to? Now, if not, don't start walking around this morning going, would you be my mentor? Would you be my mentor? Pray. Is everybody listening? Pray. I'm asked all the time, would you mentor me? I say, only if God could work it out. Because the minute you say, yes, I'll mentor, you just made a commitment of time and attention. And so I say, if our schedules work out and if we can get it together, yes, I would love to do that, but I can't promise it. But I'm here to tell you, there are divine appointments waiting to happen today. And there's somebody that will help you in your walk with Jesus. Start in Bible studies. Go to Bible studies. You'll meet people. They'll help you. You'll get to know them. Go to small group. Get into a small group and you'll get to meet people and you'll come out with a mentor. And before long, you'll become a mentor and you'll have somebody that God will knit your heart to them. And you will just say, how can I help you? And what are you going through? And what can we do to help you today? And see, that's the body of Christ, church. We're all going to heaven together, folks. We're going to spend eternity together. And I have the best news for you this morning. I'm not preaching. We're going to listen to Jesus, and he won't need a microphone. And we're going to be one with him. So make him and your mentor proud. This past week, I have a son that's a pastor. It blows me away. And he was in the house talking to his mom, and they were trying to fix a situation. You ever try to fix something like we want to fix right now, right? We're Americans. I want to fix now. If they tell me to pull ahead and wait in slot number one for my fast food, I'm upset. And they were trying to fix it, see, going through all these scenarios. And my son said something that I just loved. He said, Mom, sometimes all you can do is cry with people. See, I know where he hurt. And he's understanding. And now God's turning him into a good shepherd, you see. And Paul says, hey, Philippians, I want to be proud of you. I want to know that you're walking the path. You're becoming pure and blameless. You're becoming a straight 2x4 in God's building. Wow. Last point, be glad and rejoice. Can you be glad and rejoice? See, if you've been with Jesus and he's in you, then you can work out what the Spirit's worked in you. So, Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we are all in different places here this morning. Lord, for some in here, the Holy Spirit hasn't worked his way in yet. There are some in here who have never in their heart just opened their door to you, Lord Jesus, and said, come on in. Be my Savior. Then be my Lord. Take over the reins, Lord. You drive today, and I'll ride. Lord, if there's one in here that doesn't know you, if there's one who's set up a barrier in their heart and said, oh, I don't know about this God thing, and I just don't know. And Lord, I pray today that there would be confessions of faith, that they would recognize you're the Son of God who came to earth and who died on the cross and freely gave us the gift of salvation. And they'll open their hearts up and just say, come on in, Lord. Guide me, direct me, forgive me. I've sinned against you. That's repenting. And then, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can stop sinning and we can live for you. For the rest of us in here today, I pray, Lord, that our will and our actions would be directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we just walk out of here today knowing that we should ask you, Lord, before we act, it'll make a huge difference in the body of Christ. Then, Lord, I pray for all those who are down, who the world has taken its toll on, and they've lost hope, and they're not shining like stars. I pray, Lord Jesus, that everybody that hears this message realizes we win. And that we will shine like stars and recognize that Jesus is going to reign and rule with us in heaven. That we're going to be with him and we're going to be like him. And Lord, it's my prayer we don't wait till we leave this earth to figure it out. But while we're here, we start to reign and we start to rule. And we understand the power of our Most High God. then Father, I pray for gladness and joy. That, Lord, if we're muddling through this life going, man, I wish Jesus had come back today because life's terrible, that you would change our minds. That you would change our hearts and we would begin to joy life in the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you to take your word today. And most of all, Father God, I ask you to make us your church today, built with strong 2x4s and 2x6s. And that our walls are straight and that we're on a firm foundation. His name is Jesus. And that when the world comes at it with their crooked and warped mindset, they can't knock the house down because, Lord, you've built us on a foundation. His name is Jesus. Lord, I pray that Walworth County would be changed, that they would turn to you, and that it would turn out to be salvation for the rest of Wisconsin, Lord, and that it would ooze out into the United States of America. Lord, guide us today, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Help us to be the church. Amen. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, you may take time. If not, go in peace to go out there and be the church. God bless you.